an iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving higher time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving higher.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Markets with Chip Nellinger with Blue Reef Agri Marketing. This edition of the Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by Dawson Tire and Wheel, your premier ag tire and wheel provider in North America, helping people grow. Tractor Zoom delivering insights and dry shod boots, the official work boot of the Moving Iron Podcast. Chip, man, how you been?
Doing well, Casey. We've got some interesting markets to talk about finally. Remember, it wasn't that long ago we were like, should we even do this podcast? There's nothing to talk about because we're going to literally zero.
Yep.
And it got really interesting really quickly here.
Yeah, there was a pretty good ramp up last week that we saw. Looks like the USDA came out and decided that they had made they forgot to carry a one, and lo and behold, didn't have as much grain as they thought they did. And the markets kind of rallied there a little bit, and now we're starting to look at some pretty dry conditions as we look across the entire United States. Going into guys planting wheat and stuff across the country, and the outlooks of dryness in the Black Sea regions and Europe as a whole. There's a lot of drought hanging around out there, and to say the least, there's not a real good forecast as we look to see what's happening in Brazil. And Argentina this year is moving to a La Nina year, where it's traditionally that makes it a drier situation than normal. I guess as you look at these ending stock reports that we've seen and this potential dryness that we're starting to see creep in, how are the markets starting to react to that? And is it a little too early to tell, or do you feel like some guys are building some stuff into this market?
No, well, that stocks report, you touched on that, certainly changed the environment a little bit, right? Because all of a sudden, lo and behold, 18 months after the fact, we realize, hey, maybe this prevent plant issue we had a year ago and the resulting horrendous crops that those people raised in those areas, maybe the crop wasn't quite so big, or maybe, we did have more prevent plant than what was let on. It's very frustrating because, the USDA just with a stroke of a brush changes it without much of an explanation. One of the bigger changes, 256 million bushels, I believe, lower on the corn ending stocks, quarterly stocks, which is actually the final old crop 2019 ending stocks. And that put the carry out below 2 billion bushels. It's amazing, though, if you think back, it wasn't that long ago, 60 to 70 days ago, there were a lot of people thinking we'd end up with an ending stocks number on this year on corn of 4 billion bushels or greater. Now, fast forward a couple months, we've had a flash drought in the last half of July and August for a lot of people. Really took top end enough yields in a lot of areas, and we may end up with a sub 2 billion bushel carryout. So, 2 billion bushel potential swing in carryout in corn in a matter of 2.5 to 3 months, and it's definitely lifted prices. We saw prices push into I think about 7 month highs last week, north of 380. on December futures, right before the August crop report, we're at 320. So we've tacked on 60 cents in corn, and we know the big rally we've had in beans led by Chinese buying. And now things get really interesting as we come up to this Friday, the 9th. We've got the October crop report. We're going to new, snapshot and an estimate of what the growing crop, or I guess the crop we're harvesting currently, what the yields are. And that could really have a major influence as well. You touched on some of the dry weather we're starting to see that's very much affecting us, especially in wheat. Wheat, I think, is maybe the one sleeper here that could really explode higher if Russia continues to have dry problems, if Argentina and Brazil continue to have dry problems. And then you mentioned here, we're pretty dry in areas right now when we're supposed to be planting wheat. So wheat may be one kind of sleeping giant here if this dry weather continues in these hot spots across the world. Commodity funds have a record long position in beans, and it's going to take further bullish news to get the beans pushing, north of the previous highs, north of 1050 and maybe challenging 11. But the corn and the wheat market The funds have they're net long, but they have a lot of room they can add to those positions. And really, you know, I think corn and wheat could, you know, make a lot of room up on beans. But it certainly went from a, you know, negative, almost depressed state where, you know, some people were actually talking about is corn going to move to LDP levels to now we're, you know, could challenge $4 with a little more friendly news on the production side of corn. And, you know, of course, wheat's had a big move higher. And things have gotten really exciting on the grain side of the equation in here in a short amount of time.
Yeah, okay. So a couple thoughts real quick, or a couple questions real quick to you. One is, guys I've talked to, not only in my area, but kind of in the surrounding areas, say that the corn looked great, then we got into it, and it's not, the yields aren't there that we thought we'd see. You kind of hit on that a minute ago, and what they're seeing out there. Is that the same kind of sediment you're hearing out there with your customers that you're talking with, that they might be off, you know, 5 or 6 bushels from what they thought they might have? And then the other side of that too is, as you look at this, what Brazil has done and Argentina has done with selling a record amount of beans to China, this crop coming in is typically the crop that they keep for themselves typically this time of the year, but they have, they could export. I mean, there's not going to be much for them to export, I guess, really, is what I'm getting at. Any kind of hiccup down there as far as weather goes could really send the soybean market flying, actually, especially with what we're seeing right now with soybeans, too. Again, I'm hearing the same kind of thing, that we're just not, we're off, you know, 4 or 5 bushels an acre type of deal on the soybean side. So, I guess, what are you hearing out there, and what are your customers telling you?
Yeah, so it really depends on where you're at. There's a huge amount of variability, and when you see variability like that, it typically means you can have okay crops and good yields, but you're not at a record. And so it really is variable depending on where you're at. Some producers we talked to down, you know, parts of Southern Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, some of these areas like that are having basically the best corn and bean crops they've ever had. Because they just never, they got it planted timely. They never really stressed over moisture, never got super hot. So you have pockets like that that are really good. Parts of northern Missouri are really good. Parts of western Illinois are really good. Maybe not quite record. But then you get into those areas further north. Obviously, the windstorm, right, you know, is well publicized with the problems there in Iowa. But on top of that, it was super dry. And, you know, the northern, say, third of you know, Indiana, Illinois, up into Wisconsin, Iowa. So those areas are highly variable. You know, I'm hearing from, well, field on one side of the road might make 230, and then you move across the road and it might go 190, 185. So there's a large amount of variability. And when you have that, typically you don't experience the best national average yields. So I think the market kind of anticipates that maybe they're going to shave back corn yields just a little bit on this upcoming report. Beans are a little different story. They're, in my mind, more consistently good, but the driest areas certainly saw the top end taken off, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm hearing a lot of kind of mid-60s to low-70s on beans. Those areas that I talked about down south, southern Indiana, southern Illinois, Kentucky, best beans by, you know, 5+ bushels they've ever produced. So I think overall the bean yields probably in my mind, they might be close. They might still need to shave corn yields back a little bit. You mentioned world weather, and we're already starting really to see the effects of that, you know, here overnight Sunday and early morning Monday, the wheat market double digits higher. And that's because of the ongoing dry weather, mostly in Russia, but also Argentina. You know, they've got some issues there. They're a fairly decent producer of wheat. They're getting ready to plant. Actually started planting in parts of Brazil, and to my understanding, have maybe shut the planters off for a minute in some of those dry areas, waiting on moisture. So we're very much in a weather market. And if that dry, and it's a La Nina year, which would trend that southern hemisphere into hotter, drier conditions, And if that continues into, say, November and December, yeah, it could be wildly explosive to prices, especially if China continues buying at the pace they're on. Essentially, right now, we're the only game in town. They don't really have anything in the Southern Hemisphere to export right now. But come January, February, March, they will, assuming they have good yields down there. And so, yeah, we're very much in a weather market. And you can see that daily, even here in the first week in October. You know, these prices are kind of fluctuating and definitely have influenced by the extended forecasts in areas like Russia, where it's super dry, South America, Brazil in particular, where it's very dry in their northern growing areas, and, you know, dry enough that it's affecting potential germination. So they are trending into a wetter time frame for them. They're supposed to get some better rain coming into like late this coming week and into next weekend. But that forecast is far enough out, you know how that goes. You can't hang your hat on a 10-day forecast. It's hard enough to do it 48 hours out.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. The other thing I want to talk to you about with harvest in most places being 2, 3, 4 weeks ahead of schedule, depending on where they're at. Some of this flash drought stuff that we had really started to dry things down pretty rapidly, and guys are out here running. Right next to the woods, they're going to be done about the time they should be starting. So kind of give you an idea of how far ahead they are out here. Talked to a lot of people around the country, kind of similar situation. How is that going to play into, you know, kind of, you know, idle hands type of thing with the traders as you look at going into, you know, mid-November, the overwhelming majority of the national crop being done. As far as harvest goes, how's that going to play into the reports? And do you feel like we're going to have a better snapshot of what the actual, you know, national average is by the, you know, the December report, or maybe even the November report?
Yeah, and I think even this upcoming October report, they're going to have a much better feel for as well. Mm-hmm. Typically, when the market looks at the harvest progress, you get corn harvest and bean harvest, for that matter, you know, kind of north of 50% complete nationwide, especially when you get up towards 60-65% complete. That's typically about when we kind of put a harvest low in. Well, this is kind of a weird year. So if we get to that stage and cash basis levels are still strong, I mean, this basis situation is incredibly strong, historically strong in some areas. And in fact, harvest has picked up. We had a day last week where prices rallied, and in a lot of areas of the Eastern Corn Belt, corn basis got better, which that's at the start of harvest. That's with harvest activity. So there's tremendous demand out there. And so once we get that kind of magical 50% of the harvest complete and get on the other side of that that mountain, things could get interesting, especially if we're still struggling with dry weather in these areas, you know, especially in the Southern Hemisphere. But the wheat market, too, I said earlier, I think is a sleeper, and it's kind of tied to corn as a feed grain. And if Russia continues to stay dry, Argentina continues to stay dry, and if we stay dry here, and we're struggling with dry weather into winter, and it's affected planting here, then wheat could really kind of be the leader to the upside and help drag corn. You know, we've had some friendly situations in the past 2 or 3 years with corn, but wheat was always the anchor to corn, and corn tried to rally, but there was so much wheat in the world, corn couldn't do anything. So if you get the corn and the wheat market working in conjunction together with some friendly news for each of them, you know, the whole feed grain situation across the world could get very, very interesting very quickly. And, you know, again, I think you're going to see what we've seen here in recent weeks, much more volatility, much more dependent on the forecast. Everybody knows how that goes and how frustrating that can become. Yeah, and absolutely. So this thing's going to get a little hairy going forward, I think, depending on weather and what our final crop size is. And that's going to be a major determinant in prices, too. Are they close on yields? Okay, we're going to maybe have a 2-ish billion bushel corn carryout. Do they have 3 to 5 more bushels to cut out of this thing on corn? And all of a sudden, I mean, it gets, you know, sub, you know, billion 5, billion 6 carryout, where 3 months ago the market was thinking closer to 4. So massive swing potential here.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never been good at math, but I think I could figure that one out. But they got, there's a, that's a big, you know, talking a 75% swing almost in what the actual number is. I mean, it's a huge swing, dropped by 75% in just a matter of a few weeks. That's that is going to bring a lot of volatility to the marketplace, just guys catching up in their short positions and those kind of things. All of a sudden, what they thought they had now is way out of whack.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I think as a producer, you always got to go back and look at profit. Right, we're never going to pick the high, pick the low. Everyone started selling beans early, right? Because we were on the doorstep of a massive bean carryout as well. Then you have the flash drought. So as a producer, you got to always go back and say, all right, what are my actual yields? Have I started harvest? What do I think my yields are? What are current price levels? And look at that gross dollar, that gross revenue figure, because in a lot of cases, it's way better than it was 60 days ago, and and might warrant some marketing risk management decisions, just because, you know, it's pretty profitable. We're going to get this next round of you know, coronavirus. I can't keep track of the abbreviations, Casey, but the most recent iteration of this you know, coronavirus support is, that's coming. Could be, you know, $30 to $50 an acre on corn and 15-ish on beans for producers. So that's going to help. And you add that in, and we're looking at some okay revenues right now, especially if you're, you know, close to average yields.
Yep. Yeah, definitely a lot of stuff going on. A lot of good reasons to think about how you're handling that plan. So what, as you sit and talk with your customers, I mean, what are some of the key points you're having guys pay attention to in their plan and what the adjustments they're making right now?
Yeah, I think it starts with exactly what we just said. What do you think? Have you started harvest? What are your yields? Let's start with that. What's your current local cash market? You know, what can you sell for? How much revenue can you generate? Based on what your yields are, what crop insurance plan do you have? Because if you're well under APH, probably crop insurance is kicking in, and you know, you don't need to do anything right now because your crop insurance is kind of covering your downside. If you're in an area blessed with really good yields and you have way above APH corn and bean yields, hey, those gross revenues are probably there and probably really profitable for you. Let's think about locking some of that in. And then you replay that whole thing. You got to look at the 2021 crops, and those have really drug higher too as corn and beans have rallied here recently. You know, you're knocking on the door. I think we spent some time north of 390 on December 21 corn last week. I think, just going from memory here, up in the 965, 970 area on November 21 beans. So that becomes part of the conversation as well, because that's getting, you know, as good as we've seen of price levels for a year out this time on the calendar. You know, it deserves some attention out there. So a lot of moving gears in that marketing plan this year.
Yep, absolutely. What are your thoughts on playing the weather game a little bit when you start looking at, as guys, I've been reading a lot of stuff about weather forecasts, and take it for what it's worth, you know, it is what it is, but not very many folks are calling for a very very large amount of moisture to be coming through this winter, right? So if we don't have a good moisture stream come through this winter, based on the drought situations that we're in right now, come planting season, and if it's an early planting season like we had again, and you're planting into dryness, almost into a drought, for lack of a better term, which I guess that's what that is. So you have a drought going on, and you have no moisture you're planting in, you're way behind on the water table. I guess as you look at some of that, is it worth sitting on some of your grain and playing that long-term drought market a little bit, or I guess what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it could be. I'm never a big proponent of commercial storage. Hopefully there's not a lot of elevator managers or owners listening on the podcast, Casey, because you might get some hate mail. But it's hard to overcome commercial storage, you know, as a grain producer. If you have on-farm storage, I think depending on your situation you know, your cash flow and your financial situation, it might make some sense to hold a little bit. at least out into, I'm not saying 100%. I would not advocate sticking in a bin and not placing and betting on a drought, right? But if you want to hold 10, 15, 20% of your crop out here or more, maybe a third out into what normally seasonally is a good marketing time frame, you know, post harvest out into winter and spring, it probably does make sense, because by that time you're going to know, you know, some of the wheat situation across the world and whether moisture has come for the wheat producing areas. You're also going to know how Brazil and Argentina are setting up as far as corn and bean production. And you have to assume at this point that as dry as they are, that you're going to, you know, have a little bit of volatility and maybe some price appreciation from that. But in the, to play devil's advocate a little bit, sometimes our best crops come in that environment, right? The old saying, plant in the dust, your bins will bust.
Right.
You know, that if the rains come, right? That's the key. If you plant in the dust and the rains come and you have good average rainfall, you can have massive crops. And that's still a potential in South America too. So that's the other side of the equation here, is that, you know, and we know for a fact, these crops, corn and beans, both take less moisture to raise good crops as they did 10 and 20 years ago. So you just need a few well-timed rains and you can be drier than average through the whole year and still have a good crops. But as this year showed us in parts of Iowa and Illinois and the upper Midwest, I can go the other way too. Even on the best, you know, thickest, blackest soils around, it still has to rain, or you really cut into production potential.
Yep, that is a very true statement, Chip. Well, good stuff as usual. Folks want to reach out to you guys down there at Blue Reef and get a hold of you and talk about their plan. What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, best way is just call us at our office, 309-550-7213. We'd love to chat with you, and certainly got more interesting if you're going back and forth in a combine and worried or anxious about the markets. We'd love to chat with you.
Right on. Well, that is Chip Nellinger with Blue Reef Ag Marketing. Thanks for being on the podcast again, Chip. I'm Casey Seymour with Moving Iron Podcast. Make sure you check me out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's where you're going to find the latest edition of the Moving Iron Podcast and any blogs that I post as well. Also, check out the Global Ag Network and the great podcasters out there as well. The Moving Iron Summit's coming up here January 20th through 22nd in Nashville, Tennessee. For more information about that, either send me an email at movingironpodcast@movingironpodcast.com or check out movingironllc.com and go to the Moving Iron Summit section there, and you get all the latest information about what's going on there and all the great speakers that are out there. So with that, I am Casey Seymour, Chip Nellinger. Let's go move some iron, folks. Out.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here.